What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast, clothing and gear for athletic trainers from Arizona to Alaska. We've got Bart Peterson, athletic trainer, been in Arizona for quite a while, and in Arizona, there's some deserts, and it's freaking hot, right? One time I was in Phoenix, it was midnight. It was 98 degrees at midnight. It was freaking hot.
That's a cool day.
Yeah, maybe for you. I don't know, but... And then I've got Jake Ritter on from Alaska. He said he's pretty much like, what's that, Deadliest Catch. So he's either like in ice or in water. And so if we can't figure out the best gear for athletic trainers between the two of them, then I don't know what we're going to do. So welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast. I'm your host, Jeremy Jackson. This one is sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/clothing. Again, sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/clothing. In the show notes, I have a way to contact Jake, contact Bart, a link to the AT discounts spreadsheet that I came up with from feedback from people on Facebook. Again, it's not an end-all, be-all, but it is there. So again, in the show notes to this one, I have that, and I'll type in as much as these guys say to try and get the brand names and links on there to make it easy for you to check out the stuff that they recommend. So, all right, Jake, I'm going to start with you. Tell me what it looks like when you are at an indoor sport. How are you dressed?
I'm trying to be, indoor, just trying to be as professional and athletic training looking as possible. I mean, there's nothing gear-wise that changes from me being indoor in Alaska to me being indoor in Arizona. Maybe I might get away with some stuff in Alaska, like a nice pair of jeans, but in some areas, people would frown on that, I imagine. You know, but outdoors, that's a whole nother ball game, obviously. All the professionalism kind of falls to the wayside when we've got to be functionally able to withstand what's going on with Mother Nature.
All right, well, we're going to get to that in just a minute. Bart, you are inside right now in your athletic training room. What does it look like when you're going for a basketball game or a volleyball game?
So when I moved to Arizona, I moved here from Wyoming. In Wyoming, we wore a suit and a tie to just about anything that was indoors. I came down here, I showed up my first game in a suit and a tie, and everybody laughed at me. So down here, it's pretty mellow. You know, people go to church in shorts and a T-shirt. So it's a strange thing. So pretty much, if there's something going on outside, then I'll have a polo and some shorts on. If there's nothing going on outside, I'll have shorts and some Dockers, something like that. Just something to stay nice. But when you go outside in the heat, then we pretty much do the shorts pretty much full time.
Okay, so my favorite pair of khaki pants, which I try to do that if I'm indoors in the athletic training room or if we have an inside game. Again, unless there's an outside game going on at the same time that I have to cover, because then I need to be able to function out there without sweating to death. Typically, I wear C9 from Target. They're golf pants. I like the way they fit. I like that they're cool. So typically for a guy, golf pants are going to be some of the best nice looking and comfortable pants. And you know, that's what I wear to the varsity football games. For my shoes, I actually love Crocs as my dress shoes. I think they're called Walu, but I have a link to the exact pair that I have. They're gray with the lime green on them, and they're so comfortable, but they're like the deck shoes or the boat shoes, something like that. And then a lot of our shirts I actually get from Academy, which is like Dick's Sporting Goods or something like that. And they're Magellan, which is the Academy brand, but they're like fishing shirts. So they're button-up fishing shirts. They're very breathable, but the ones that I got this year, I mean, they look really sharp, but I've gotten several, and you just take them over to the embroidery shop, and they hook you up there. So I just go over there, buy those from Academy. And then I've actually noticed a lot of other athletic trainers at conferences doing the same thing with their indoor or their dress shirts. They'll just go get them from Academy or Columbia, something like that, embroider those, because high quality shirts reflects the sun if you're outside. So as far as inside, that's typically what I'm wearing: Crocs, the C9 khaki pants or black pants or gray pants from Target, and then one of the either the polos that we have or the Magellan button-up dress shirts. So now that we got the indoors out of the way, I mentioned earlier, Jake, that you said you're pretty much wet all year, or you're fighting snow or something like that. And so tell me a little bit about the conditions there, and then that way we can understand why you dress the way you do.
So we're in the real west, way west, up in the PNW or the Pacific Northwest. So we get a ton of rain. I mean, it's like I said in our emails, I mean, we, Southeast Alaska makes Seattle look like Palm Springs. I mean, it is wet here. There's certain communities in Southeast Alaska that get 170 plus inches of rain a year. So it's not always necessarily the frigid temperatures as far as cold, but it's being in 38 degrees, 35 degrees in rain, that in fall time, say September, it's usually blowing sideways. So you're combating not only almost freezing temps that are soaking wet, and then usually there's a wind effect going on there, which is, it's a battle to find the right type of clothing. Now, most people would just say, well, just wear rain gear. But anyone here in Southeast Alaska would tell you it's not that simple. I mean, on one end of the spectrum, you have kind of the commercial construction, commercial fishing rain gear, which is very thick, really heavy. And if you're standing on the sidelines, you might be dry. But if you actually have to do any real movement, where if you're running out onto the field, or, you know, forgetting something going back and forth, you're kind of like the Tin Man. It's really rigid and it's not very breathable. So it may be 38 and raining, but it's a sauna underneath your rain gear, because it just traps so much of that heat. So you end up being soaked anyways, cause you're sweating. Now, on the other end of the spectrum, you have really light, you know, say like your Columbia rain gear, that's usually has some vents around the armpits and in up the back that allows things to breathe, but at the same time, then it's not as durable, and you end up going through things, sets of rain gear every other season. So trying to find that balance between something being waterproof and durable, and also but breathable and movable, and there's not a lot. There's some stuff that's in that nice middle ground, but you usually have to, it's a compromise, one end of the spectrum or the other. Helly Hansen's a brand that I've been using for a long time, that's pretty popular in the Northwest. They accommodate to everything from commercial fishing to recreational hiking and things of that nature. And they do have some nice kind of mid-weight items. Now, you're going to have to pay for it. That's the other side of things. You know, to get a good set of rain gear, you know, if you're going to go on the cheap, it'll get you in the end, because, you know, let's be honest, what we're wearing outside, I'm not just wearing at games. I'm wearing if I'm going on hikes or hunting or out on the boat. And so it's getting a lot of use. So I can't be buying something cheap and then it blowing out and just having to buy stuff new every other fall. So, I think it's worth spending a little bit of money when it comes to any outdoor apparel, whether it is like what I'm speaking about, rain gear, or just winter weather gear in general.
All right. You said
function wise,
you said Helly Hansen.
Oh yeah.
All right. So I spelled it Helly Hansen. Is that pretty close?
Hansen.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll try and look that up.
Yeah. No, and there's, I can't give you like a specific product that I'm wearing right now, as far as it is kind of on the commercial end of the spectrum, but it has, you know, accessible pockets, some decent vents, even though it does get a bit hot, and just durable. I mean, I wear it for working around the house out in the weather, and I'm wearing it on the sidelines. So I think, you know, if you're going to spend the money, it better be something that you can, you know, you're not just using it on the sidelines for outdoor stuff, but that you could grab when you're doing, you know, recreational stuff on your own time.
All right. So
and then when it comes to footwear, we wear a brand called Extra Tufts. They're a pretty popular rubber boot, but I mean, anything, bogs or muck boots, a lot of people wear those. The issue is that when it starts getting cold, rubber boots aren't very comfortable. So a lot of times you got to double up. Either you can purchase insulated liners for them, or a solid pair of wool socks. I mean, we try to stay wool or something synthetic. I mean, staying away from cotton is kind of the code here that people say cotton kills, you know, because in certain environments, once you sweat through cotton or once it gets wet, you can be in trouble. So staying with synthetic materials and or wool for natural fiber.
All right. We're going to come back to the footwear some more in just a little bit. I know you said extra tough rain boots or muck boots, but we'll come back to that in just a little bit. Bart, so we just talking about he's getting 170 inches of rain a year, rain coming sideways. You got 38 degrees while it's raining. So tell me, what does it look like for you on a regular Arizona athletic day?
So a regular Arizona athletic day. So we have 365 days a year and about 350 days of sunshine. So we're the exact opposite. I think our average rainfall is about 12 inches, which is probably one day up there where Jake is. But our issue is in July, August, September, we have the monsoon rains, and that's when we get the majority of our rain. And that comes in, and it could drop anywhere from a half an inch to 3 inches in an hour. And so you got to be ready with your rain gear at the same time you're ready with your heat gear, just in case that comes in. So, but typically we're looking at, like today it's supposed to be 80 degrees outside. And so we're looking at getting, Jake's got a smile on his face when I said 80. But 80 degrees outside. The kids are complaining that it was too hot today to go out for PE, but last week it was 70 and they were complaining it was too cold to go out for PE. So
this is what we got going on here.
A little bit of snow there. Yep. Brings back some good memories. That's beautiful. So we end up with, it gets hot and stays hot for about 6 to 7, 8, 9 months a year. When I lived in Wyoming, we used to say that there was two seasons in Wyoming, winter and the 4th of July. And the 10 years I was on 7 4th of Julys. So down here, we have two seasons, hot and hotter. So we're looking at staying cool and going through there. So typically on a non-game day, then it'll just be T-shirts and shorts. And we try to model good clothing wear for our kids. A lot of kids will show up at a 100-degree practice, and they'll all be wearing black. Now, all the position statements say that the color really doesn't make a difference, but I find that majority of my kids that have issues and trouble are wearing the darker colors. So we really try to model wearing lighter colors as well as a breathable fabric. So the dry fit fabrics that are wicking the moisture away from us, and letting the air breathe in and out. The other thing that we're trying to do a little bit more and more is provide sunscreen, because not only do we have to wear the clothing, but we got to provide for some of the skin issues as well, because you get kids out for 2 or 3 hours of practice and then they end up getting burned. So I provide sunscreen for coaches and for kids as best I can. So one of the best t-shirts I found, I actually found at Costco. My wife found it at Costco. I think it's called 32 Degrees. It's a really nice light fabric. It holds its shape well, breathes really well, and you get 3 per pack for like $12 or something like that. But it's good enough to wear to class and teach in at the same time to go out. And then you can start layering up and maybe have the T-shirt on when it's 105, and then later on at the later game, you know, put a polo over the top and you wouldn't even know the difference. So as for those rainy days, I got a nice Gore-Tex jacket from Under Armour. I'm sure you can get a Gore-Tex jacket somewhere else. And then I picked that up and decided I had to have my legs the same way. So I went up to L.L. Bean, got a very nice pair of Gore-Tex pants, wind pants, rain pants for about $75. Yeah, you get about two layers on, and that's good enough down here. But when I was up in Wyoming, you know, we were throwing 3 or 4 layers on when it's cold, and then try to protect from that wind. The wind is probably the biggest killer when you're cold. So if you're wet and you're windy, then you're really pretty miserable. So As for the wicking stuff, so a couple of years ago, we got a grant from Mission and KSI, and they provided us about $2,500 worth of heat gear from Mission, and the skull caps and the other, the towels and that kind of stuff to kind of cool the kids off. So we soak them in water, and then they put them on and wear them at practice or at games. And that's really helped the kids a lot, staying cool during practice or during games, is that Mission or those a similar type brand with that really tight compression type gear to wick that moisture away from them and keep them cool.
Okay, so you mentioned Under Armour rainwear. So I actually, our raincoat, rain pants that I've bought is Under Armour because I really like it. It's light, but it works really well. And so I concur with you there. But again, if I'm standing out in the, like this winter, we had a day where it was 24 outside. And so it was cold. It didn't rain that day, but it rained the day before. And so I had it there with me. But again, I had my long johns or Under Armour or what they call them, long underwear. And again, the ones I prefer are from Target. They're C9 or Champion. And then I had sweatpants and then wind pants over those. But I had that Under Armour rain gear ready just in case, because it did start like sprinkling a little bit. But we're rarely ever in the 24 degrees here in Houston. So,
yeah. So one of the things that I try to do is I try to look at other people and how they're staying warm. So we have a paved pathway around town that kids or people use to ride their bikes or run or whatever. There's 110 miles of this pathway around town. And I watch these bikers ride their bicycles around town. And I'm cold running, and they're doing it about 20 miles, 25 miles an hour. And how are they staying warm? So I started looking at their clothing that they wear, because it's got to have that wind barrier in it to keep them warm. So I started looking at Pearl Izumi. Pearl Izumi has been a really good brand for that kind of stuff. It's like a tight compression type gear for runners or for bikers. And also Baleaf, B-A, it's actually Baleaf, but it's B-A-L-E-A-F. Both of those are really made for runners or bikers, but it's worked good for base layers underneath the outside, you know, the Dockers and the polo and then the jacket over the top. On those cold days when we get down to the 35s.
Yeah, I understand. All right, Jake, you had mentioned the shoes. I had actually talked to Mary Perez. She was going to be on, but she had a lot going on. And so she had mentioned at some point Salomon shoes. So you said the muck boots and the extra tough rain boots, and then you guys have to use some
right.
different types of socks. But yeah. What do you do for tennis shoes? Because if you are pretty much getting rain every day, you have to have either soaked feet, you have to have sandals, or you have to right. have some shoes that allow them to breathe. So how are you solving that?
So another good shoe that is definitely a bit water resistant that you can get away with, and they make a number of different products, but Keens are a pretty awesome brand. They I actually just got a pair recently and snagged them on a good deal at like Nordstrom's Rack or something, and they're oil water resistant. They got a nice slip resistant sole, a pretty sturdy, I mean, you could call them a shoe, but they're kind of a hiking boot, hiking shoe, and they're pretty awesome in regards to having some water resistance. And you know, you can get away with going out on a wet day, not a drenched day, and you know, not have soggy feet all, you know, throughout the rest of the afternoon. Yeah, they're a pretty solid brand, and they're really durable. I think that's kind of anything that I'm getting, I'm hoping to get my wear out of. So durability is pretty important to me.
Yeah, I actually have a pair of the Keens. They're like water shoes, so they're basically just sandals, but I wear them when we go to the river so that you're not having to step up on the hard rocks. So I like that brand.
Yeah, they make
they're not super cheap, but they're, like you said, durable, no, they're made to last, and they have good non-slip.
Since I do some industrial work, I'm on job sites where I have to have steel toes. So I have a Keen pair of work boots, and then I have a Keen pair of kind of hiking shoes that, you know, you could get away with on the court or, you know, on the sidelines.
All right. So are all of your shoes like water resistant, or do you have some that are not?
Oh, I mean, I'll always obviously have some general tennis shoes, you know, for just walking about when things aren't, when the weather's not cruddy. I'm not extremely brand loyal to anything, but it's more just comfort for me. I mean, I have what I like to call Flintstone feet. I have wide, thick, fat feet. So I the only brand I usually don't wear are Nikes, because they have run on the narrow side. You'll usually see me in a pair of Adidas, or I just got a pair of Sauconys. They usually I'm have to wear a wider shoe. So that's what guides me in regards to getting a tennis shoe. But yeah, that's about all I got for footwear insight.
All right, Bart, you got your flip flops down in the red dirt or what?
Yeah, I don't do the flip flop thing. I learned my lesson riding a bicycle with flip flops. I don't wear those anymore. But I do have a pair of Keen sandals that I wear on days when I'm going to be doing a lot of stuff in the wet area, or I know that we had a monsoon and everything's wet outside. So I'll wear the Keens that day. One thing I found when we were in Wyoming is that you can keep your feet dry a couple of different ways. We would used to have the kids put socks on, then put a bread bag over their socks, and then put another pair of socks over the top of that. That keeps the water out, even though the shoes get soaked. We had some games up there where it was 50 below zero. And, you know, as long as your feet are dry and warm, you know, you can be happy. So, you know, no matter what you're wearing, if you're in cleats, you can have those kids put those bread bags over their feet, and they'll be a lot more comfortable, a lot more happy out there a lot longer. So I just run, you know, I'll tell you, my biggest thing with footwear is my comfort. So I was wearing a pair of Nikes.
Always.
Flat out wearing the same pair of shoes for probably 10 or 15 years, and my feet would kill me when I got home every day, and I was just going crazy with my feet. I'd go home and just die. So I changed brands and changed shoes, and I found one that worked for me. So that's what I wear, as I wear the shoes that make me the most comfortable and able to go out for the 12, 15 hour day and work. So if people don't like it, you know, at least I'm getting the job done, and I'm not being unfashionable. I'm just, you know, got to be comfortable doing what I'm doing.
All right. So I understand that the brand and style is kind of specific to the person, but what is that brand and style for you?
Oh, well, so here's what I do. I run about 35 miles a week. And so when my running shoes get about 500 miles, I put a new pair of running shoes on, and then I wear the old running shoes for the next 3 or 4 months until I hit that 500 mile marker on the next, and I just rotate shoes down. So it's just a pair of running shoes all day long. Whether I'm running or if I'm in that training room, then it's my old running shoes from the previous 500 miles. So,
well, what kind of running shoes?
I'm in Asics.
You're in Asics?
That's one that I've found has worked the best for me with my foot and high arch and all that kind of fun stuff. So,
all right. So Asics are running shoes, work best for Bart again, but he's not dealing with the constant rain. He has some Keen sandals that help keep his feet dry. All right. So here in Houston, you know, like I said, we get 34 degrees, 35 degrees. I would say normally for a couple days during the winter, but our feet are always freezing because all of our shoes are tennis shoes that breathe. So Bart, what do you do when it's 35 degrees outside that one day a year to keep your feet warm?
So I learned back up in Wyoming that you got to wear those wool socks like Jake's been talking about. Put those wool socks on, and then I have a pair of hiking boots that I wear come up just a little bit, that really they're kind of like a high top shoe, but they're hiking boots, and I wear those. They'll keep me dry and they'll keep the wind out, keep my feet warm. And I've actually used ice bags on my feet. So you put the ice bag over the top of the sock and then the wool socks over that, and keep them dry when we do have the rain that comes in every now and then.
All right, Jake, I know you said that you are not brand loyal. What do you think has been the worst purchase for staying dry or staying warm? One time we bought raincoats that had like an inner liner, and we had them embroidered. So it's that athletic trainer or sports medicine, whatever it is. And when they embroidered it through the whole thing and not just through like the outer liner. And so when it rained, that thing got soaked. But actually, the whole jacket leaked. It was just a bad jacket. So I think that's probably the worst that I've personally bought. I don't even remember the brand now. But what has been the least effective for you?
I'm trying to think. I can't think of anything, but I know my grad work in Pennsylvania, where in the fall, I mean, we get, you know, mid-Atlantic gets a lot of rain. And I think people need to know there's a huge difference between water resistant and waterproof. And the you wear a water resistant coat, you get a little bit of a drizzle, and then a downpour comes through and you might as well be wearing a t-shirt. And I can't think of the actual brand, but I think just to pay attention to things like that, because, you know, folks that are in fairly nice weather most of the year, they grab a windbreaker that says water resistant, and I think that'll do. But I think paying attention to those little things, because I know not purchases that I made personally, but gear that was kind of given out to the staff. You're like, oh, this is pretty nice. And then a downpour comes through and you realize that you're soaked through. If your phone was in your pocket, it's soaked through, and you're, you know, putting in a bucket of rice or something. And I think just keeping an eye on some subtle differences that, you know, you make assumptions that water resistance is good enough. A lot of times it's not.
All right. That is definitely a mistake that I've made too. Waterproof versus water resistance. Again, the Under Armour ones say that they're waterproof, and to my experiences, they have been, or at least the ones that we bought. And again, like Bar said, they're not cheap. I think they're somewhere around $75 for the bottoms and $75 for the top, something around there. But if it keeps you dry, it's worth the long-term investment. Bart, worst thing that you think you have got to as far as clothing for your situation there in Arizona?
Well, probably the worst thing was when the coach got something that was mislabeled and handed it out, just like what Jake was talking about. And so it was heat gear. It was labeled as cool gear. And so then we all put it on expecting it was going to keep us warm and dry. And it was doing the exact opposite. So that was the best purchase, or the worst purchase, depending on whose perspective you were. He was happy about it because it didn't cost him much at all. And we were happy that we got it for free. And then we weren't happy when we were wearing it at the wrong occasion. So, you know, I tell you that you only learn by making mistakes. So I don't think that I ever see a really bad purchase, because you just learn when not to use it next time. I wouldn't buy it if I didn't like it in the first place, other than that bad thing. So you just learn when to use them and when not to use them based on how they work. Probably the worst one was I bought a pair of water resistant shoes that and in Arizona that should do you right. I mean, you only get 12 inches of rain a year, and water resistant on a monsoon day where we got 3 inches of rain and flooded the football field, but we still had the game. But the water-resistant shoes were not water-resistant at all.
Do you happen to remember the brand of those?
No, they didn't last past halftime. So one thing I did learn is, on days when you are expecting weather, you should have a dry pair in the inside at halftime that you can change into. So learned that up in Wyoming. We would go in and change at halftime and put dry stuff on for the second half. And I still do that down here in Arizona just in case.
Yeah, I always have a backup plan. That's a really good idea there. All right, so we've talked about some of the best ways to stay dry and to stay warm. I know you mentioned Helly Hansen. You mentioned double bagging your feet there. You put a sock, a bag, another sock, and help keep your feet warm and dry. And it does make a huge difference if they're wet, and it kind of makes your whole body wet and uncomfortable. We talked about difference between waterproof and water-resistant jackets. Jake, if you're looking to buy something, the next piece of gear that's gonna, you know, make your life more enjoyable when you're outside or in rough conditions, what do you think that's gonna be?
I think right now, if I was to get a new set of gear for fall time, when I'm typically out in cruddy weather, probably same it's probably going to be Grundin's or Helly Hansen. Grundin's is another awesome rainproof brand. They're definitely on the commercial fishing end of business up here. But the current gear I have only has one big pocket, and it's really clumsy getting in and out of. And even though, you know, I'd have like my fanny pack, a lot of times everything in it just gets demolished and soaked, because most of our stuff is cotton based. If you really look at it, from tape to the product to the bag. And so it just turns into a sponge. So I tend to have a lot of things in pockets because they stay drier now. So I would definitely be looking to something that has a couple pockets instead of just one big kind of pouch that the rain top that I have now has. I think that'd be the biggest in regards to my next purchase, but it'll be a while because I just re-upped on my rain gear this last fall. So I'll just have to suffer for a little bit longer.
All right. So if you have if any of the listeners, if you have a really good rainproof like fishing vest or something that has a lot of pockets, then pass that on to me or pass that on to Jake. And then that way we'll have a really good idea of something that has worked well for you as far as replacing the fanny pack with just having that stuff in your pockets. I know people talk about having tactical pants that have, or cargo pants that have, you know, several different pockets, but when you're covered in three layers and it has to be rainproof, then it challenges that just a little bit. So if you have something that's working, let us know. All right, Bart, what do you think is going to be the next thing you acquire besides new running shoes?
Well, I mean, you're always buying running shoes, right? Probably another hat like this, just keep the sun off. This is my daily go-to. Got this from my sportswear vendor. It's a golf hat, and they bought it out of the golf, and they had it embroidered for us. So mainly, it's just keep the sun off. I really don't have a whole lot of go-tos that I need. Probably, I'm actually thinking about maybe looking at those Dockers that you were talking about. The really nice Dockers that you had there at Target, I think it was.
Yes, sir.
That's probably what I'm wearing at right now is my Dockers are probably on the last legs, last threads.
All right. I wear a Columbia hat, like a fishing style hat, because it's got a wide brim. I got a big bald head and I got big ears. And so I really need to make sure that those things are protected. And so for me personally, that one works. I've had the straw hat like Bart was showing there, and that worked for a little while, but it felt like it was the curves on it would still allow all the sun to get on my ears and my face. And so to keep myself from being sunburned and being like some of these coaches with skin cancer or sunspots, that kind of thing, I pretty much always wear that hat. I wear sunglasses. I've actually started a lot more wearing long sleeve, like dry fit type shirts rather than short sleeve, even if it's in August or something like that, because the sunblock is uncomfortable. It's sticky, smelly. And so wearing the shirt is, I guess, second. I'm not 100% sure if it's as effective as a sunblock, but I don't end up getting sunburned. So, Bart, speak a little bit more about that. You mentioned sunblock, and what are some of the things that you do to prevent sunburn other than slathering in sunblock?
So those long sleeve dry fits they're awesome for that. When my coach first got those and handed those out, I was like, what are you doing, man? It's like 110 degrees outside. Why are you wearing long sleeves? And then he went to the doctor the next week and came back with a bunch of cuts on his face and on his arms where they had removed some spots off of it. And then it dawned on me that he was taking care of himself and taking care of us too. So, it's just a matter of down here, you literally walk outside and it can be 110, but you're not sweating because it's evaporating before you actually get the sweat on the skin. So the sunblock will actually like crust over, and it's really not really comfortable. So what we try to do is apply sunblock about a half an hour before, like they recommend, wear the long sleeves, wear the hat. If you can, I ride a motorcycle to work every day. And so wearing those long sleeves helps as well, because that motorcycle, you know, it's like Arizona is kind of like having a blow dryer in your face. Bring that blow dryer on hot and turn it on high and then just stick it in your face. And if you're on the motorcycle, it's even worse. So the chapstick is, or Carmex or whatever you're going to use that way for your lips, That's huge. And the other thing is I found is that the heat dries your gums out a lot. And so you end up having a lot more issues with gums because of the heat and you're breathing through your mouth or whatever, you're running, exercising. So we try to recommend a lot more brushing your teeth and staying hydrated with water and that kind of stuff to make sure that the gums aren't drying out and cracking.
Interesting. Yeah, see, down here in Houston, it's very humid. So if I, like I said, if I put the sunblock on, it's almost always like slimy and it just kind of stays that way.
And not fun.
Right. So that's why I tend to find something else. You know, if I know I'm going to be out there for a long time, then I'll put it on my neck, my ears, and that kind of thing, and then still try to wear a long sleeve. But I try to do things other than sunblock. All right, Jake, you guys have a different situation that it could be sunny and snowy. So now you have the sun reflecting off of the snow, and you can get sunburn just like, even if you're covered from the top down, from the bottom up, you can get sunburn. So what are you doing out there to prevent sunburn?
Honestly, I haven't had to worry about a sunburn in I don't know how long, but yeah, I mean, you see, I mean, the what you see around here is folks that spend a lot of time skiing, snowboarding, or snowmobiling, as they get up in years, they look older than they are. I have some friends that have skied and snowboard all over the world, and their skin looks about 20 years older than it should be. And they just don't wear sunscreen, a lot of the guys that are out doing snow sports, unfortunately. And I think a face shield goes a long ways with that, you know, because no one, I mean, I don't even know if I could find sunscreen in my home or in my anywhere, because I just never have to have it. And I think that's the same for a lot of people up here. We just don't think about it enough. But there's still that exposure on those clear days. And anyone who's been up here in the summertime when we do have nice weather, there definitely seems to be the intensity of the sun's high, where, you know, oh, it's only 50 degrees and you don't think about it because it's not hot. And then you get home at the end of the day and, you know, you're just fried, your skin wise. So in the wintertime, there's some face shields out there. Brand wise, the one that comes to mind right now is called Gator Skins. But I know every other ski brand out there has some sort of face shield that I think is great for skiing, snowboarding, any of the outdoor sports that a lot of people take part in up here. One thing in regards to cold weather that I wanted to mention as far as gloves go, and we all know that mittens are keep your hands warmer than gloves, but they're clumsy, right? Especially if we're on the sidelines and have to get into something and, you know, we're taking our gloves, our mittens off and then putting them back on. And in the meantime, our hands are cold. So I found a product, the brand is called Loki, but the design, it's a mitten. And I'll see if I can show it to you guys here, but standard kind of mitten. But what it has, if you can see on the top there, the top folds down and you can actually get your hands through it. So it's pretty darn handy, because even wearing gloves, you can't really do anything. You still have to take them off. This way, if you just need your fingers, you can be a little bit dexterous if you're having to get into your kit or having to actually palpate. And then, you know, you can pop your hand back in and just kind of fold it back over and we're back to a normal mitten. So I think this has been one of the surprising products that I've found in the past year or so that has been pretty awesome.
That is definitely one of the things I needed to ask about, was how you keep those hands warm, because – you know, when I'm out there, I like working soccer, so I spend a good bit of time out there, and, you know, my hands are cold. I'm not typically using my phone, but if I need to do something with one of the kids, if I need to tape, anything like that, then you got to take them off, stick them in your pocket, like you said. So L-O-K-I is Loki, so I'm going to include a link there. That's right, L-O-K-I, right?
Correct.
Okay, so I'm going to include a link there, because for the audio-only listeners, and then that way... You can get easy access to that there. So, all right. Barty, hey, anything else you think we missed? Go ahead.
I was just going to say, when we were in Wyoming, I go back up there a lot because we had a lot of weather issues up there. The wind is huge. We played one game at 50 below zero, football game at 50 yeah. below zero. We put coolers, hot water in the coolers to drink, and they were frozen solid at halftime. So any exposed skin is going to get frostbite really, really quick. So we started, you know, we would put the gloves on and all that kind of stuff, but a ball carrier has to have their skin exposed. So anything that was not going to be in contact with the ball, we would smear Vaseline or skin lube on. And that would cut down, like across their face, would cut down the frostbite, cut down the cold and the biting and that kind of stuff and the wind, and would allow them to function at a higher level without endangering skin or whatever else. Jake might have some more ideas on that as well.
Yeah. Our seasons, our fall seasons end pretty quick here in Alaska because we have to start early. Like our first football games are at least a week, but some depending on what school, 2 weeks before school even starts. I think the state championship for football is in maybe the second week of October. But prior to moving back home to Juneau, I was in Helena, Montana at Carroll College, and their football program regularly went into the postseason. And we would have, just like you're talking about in Wyoming, we'd have way below zero temps. That, you know, if we have all these position statements on cold weather and when to call a game, and the reality is that never happens. There's never going to be a, you know, you're not canceling a playoff game, even though health-wise they should. But yeah, Vaseline on any exposed skin. You know, a lot of visiting teams were starting to bring actually, you know, they weren't even having water on the sidelines. You know, they'd have actual large commercial, what would be like a coffee pot, but they had maybe a light tea steeped into it. Or even I think some of the NFL guys, like in Green Bay and Minnesota, are using, you know, they'll put like some bouillon in hot water. So it's almost like a really weak soup broth. And that way, because guys aren't going to drink cold water when it's 30, 40 below. But if you have something warm that doesn't have caffeine in it, and, you know, you're actually getting some salt, replacing some of those minerals, because I don't think you'd get anyone to drink any warmed up Powerade or Gatorade. But I think those are things to think about if you're working with, in an area and with a program that regularly goes deep into seasons, that, you know, we're burning a ton of calories and expending a ton of water, even though it is below zero. So any way you can replace those fluids, you got to kind of trick the athlete, maybe even trick yourself. So, you know, weak tea, the bouillon, I think, is a great idea because you are getting that salt and people are drinking a lot more of it than if you just had a bucket of water out there that's, you know, got a skim of ice on top of it.
All right.
Yeah, that's
Bart. Where is your favorite place to go find some of these find good deals on some of these clothing items that you like?
So, I'm probably the worst person in the world because I go into a store, find what I like, and then I go online and find it online and buy it for cheaper. So Amazon is probably my go-to right now, but I've got a couple of apps that help me compare price online. So I do a lot of online shopping for this kind of stuff. My wife hates me because of it, because she never knows like how much I'm going to spend and that kind of stuff. But Amazon has been really good for the base layer stuff, the Pearl Izumi and the Bay Leaf and that kind of stuff. You know, just wherever you can find what it is you want. So my local distributor, Local Athletic Clothing Supply, have done my hats for me. They've done a lot of our long sleeve dry fit shirts and that kind of stuff. And so that's kind of wherever we can find the best price and get the best deal, we'll go for it.
All right. So Amazon, one of the problems that I've had is you know, you read the reviews but then you get it and it's like, oh wait, that's not what I wanted at all. So if you can do like Bart did, you go to the store, you try it on, and then you look it up and maybe you can find it cheaper somewhere else, then you order it there. If not, then maybe you can get it at the store while you're standing right there. So very good advice. Jake, what do you think?
For me, I kind of take the same route.
I'll be honest though, being in a smaller community, there is a bit of an obligation, I think, to support some local businesses. So, you know, I when I re-upped on some outdoor gear, I did go to a local company that, you know, isn't a chain. It's called Nugget Alaska Outfitters, and they you know what you're getting. I think that's, you know, the battle with ordering online. If you didn't have the opportunity to see it at a store and then you get it and it doesn't quite fit right, or maybe the quality isn't so good. And then being up here in Alaska, there's always an issue with ordering where, you know, it's, you don't know when it's going to show up. And then if it doesn't fit, the headache of returning it almost is so much of a pain that you just say to heck with it, and you end up either dealing with something that doesn't fit right, or you end up having to buy something else. So there's always that kind of risk, especially with footwear. I find it hard to order footwear that I haven't tried on, just because of the type of foot I have. You know, it's easy to get a really uncomfortable boot or shoe. So I am a little bit, you know, I'll support the home team a bit in regards to local businesses, but at the same time, I am frugal. So if something's really, really out there price wise, I'll do my homework and see if I can find it somewhere at a different online retailer.
All right. I kind of do the same thing. A lot of times I'll go to or the stores and then I'll check out online, because sometimes they even have a sale for the same item online or something like that. And, but I think more so if I go to a store looking for something, I'm just going to get it, right? If I know that I'm going to get it, I just go get it. But one of the things I have learned was, like Bart talked about the local distributor, I'll say, hey, do you have some of these that you can bring me so that I can try them on? Or, hey, can you send me some samples of this shirt so that I can see if it's what I want? Because I've bought stuff and I'm like, oh, that was not what I wanted. And now that it has my name across the front of it, you know, sports medicine across the front, I can't really return it. And so learning to ask those questions beforehand is really beneficial. And then sometimes you say, hey, what do you have on discount, like Bart did, and you end up getting heat gear for cold gear. But then it's just a matter of you putting it on at a different time of year. So, all right, guys, anything else?
No, I think we're pretty good. This has been great.
All right, Jake.
Yeah, appreciate
anything?
The time.
I appreciate you working in your schedule.
Thanks for having me on, and yeah, happy to contribute. Looking forward to some future topics.
All right. Well, most of the people who listen to the Sports Medicine Broadcast know that I support Frio Hydration. So if in Alaska you need some hydration needs, if in Arizona you need some hydration needs, you can call my buddy Rob at Frio Hydration or email getfrio@friohydration.com. So hopefully when it's in Alaska that Frio cooler keeps it warm. So let me ask you, Jake, do you have, you know, you have the Yeti style coolers, right, up there somewhere?
Yeah, a lot of people do them. I mean, a lot of people have them, but they're like a down payment on a car to buy one. So I haven't made the commitment to get in a Yeti cooler, but there's a lot of guys that have them on their boats. I mean, they're a great product, but man, they're expensive.
So do they keep things from freezing? Like we were talking about the coolers being in the negative 50 or whatever it is, the water being frozen solid?
I doubt it.
You don't know? Okay. I have no idea, and so that's why I figured maybe you would. But all right, Jake, somebody wants to get a hold of you. I have your email here, ritter907@gmail.com, or tweet at @FrontierATC. So either of those, which is the best way to get a hold of you?
Either way, whatever works. I mean, email is probably the best, to be honest.
All right, so if you want to email Jake Ritter, RITTER 907@gmail.com. You can ask him about the Helly Hansen or the Keens or the Grunden or some of the specific stuff that he mentioned there. Or if you're looking to go work in Alaska and you want to talk to somebody about what the life is like up there, then email Jake and he'll get you pointed in the right direction. Bart, I've got you as @Bart_Peterson for your Twitter. And then email is ARIZATC for Arizona ATC @Cox.net. Is that the best way to get a hold of you?
Either one of those would be great. You bet.
All right, so if you want to get a hold of Bart Peterson or Jake, again, the show notes, I have a list there. I also have the list of the AT discount programs that you guys on Facebook have helped me put together, and I'm going to continue to update that once I get, hey, this is a new one. Hey, this one isn't working. Hey, I had to say this specifically to get it to work, then, or it only works in store. So if you have any of that stuff, let me know, and I'll add it to that list, because the more we can help each other out, the better. All right. So I have that list there. Again, it's sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/AT discounts. So check that out. And again, I have a link to that in the show notes, sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/clothing, as we're talking about athletic trainer gear and clothing from Alaska to Arizona. So for Bart Peterson, Jake Ritter, and Jeremy Jackson, that is a wrap. Thanks, guys.